Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
You could just shut your big yapper. Y'all ready for this? Are you pumped? Are you stoked? Are you ready for our annual two hours of Brickyard 400 talk? It is Brickyard weekend. It is Super Race weekend, the Kroger Super weekend out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway outside of the Indianapolis 500. It does not get any bigger than this out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I tell you, we've got you covered from all aspects of the track, and you know, But we've launched our brand new YouTube channel. We're going to have some deals up there today, and I was out doing videos yesterday, dodging raindrops, and what a good race that was. The second race was really pretty good as well. But I tell you what, I told you we have you covered from all aspects of the track. Joining us now live from the Coke Lot, that redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman. Kevin, welcome to Brickyard 400. How's life out at the Coke Lot?
Other than that, pretty good.
It's not really the ideal weekend to be out at the Coke Lot, I guess. Kevin Chapman, Kevin, all the fan action out at the Coke Lot for us. And we're certainly going to be talking with him throughout the show as he is going to help a co-host as well. But also, toward the end of the show, we're going to try to maybe round up some fans that are either still awake or never made it to bed or dry or what have you. So, Kevin Chapman, great weekend out of the Indianapolis Motorway. It is the Brick 400. Seems like only yesterday we saw a kid from Indiana win his very first huge NASCAR race out at the Brickyard. Jeff Gordon, number 24, one of your personal favorites. Talk with us about the last 20 years of the Brickyard 400.
Well, you know, first off, July 27th now, according to Mayor Ballard here in Indianapolis, Jeff Gordon Day, the scoring, I've called it a pylon, the scoring pylon that they tore down. Mayor Ballard gave Jeff Gordon the number 24 off of that and dedicated the July 27th to Jeff Gordon Day. So as a Jeff Gordon fan, you can't go wrong with that. But, over the 20 years, the kissing of the bricks, if you think about it, that's not a lot of people now see it with the open wheel. That actually started with NASCAR. The kissing of the bricks is because we're rednecks and we'll kiss dirt. We don't care. But that tradition started. And over the last 20 years, man, there have been some really good races. And NASCAR, Daytona is the big Super Bowl, and everybody loves it. But you talk to the drivers, and, there's certain tracks that the driver's goal is to win at. And the Brickyard is one of them for NASCAR. This is a desired track. The drivers want to win here. So there is I can hear the drivers out there right now try and drive the track for qualifying and practices.
Let's
start at 9 o'clock.
Well, let's hope Juan Pablo Montoya is not out there yet if they've got the drivers out. Just kidding.
Catches car on fire.
How awesome would that be, though, on a serious note, on Hoffa Montoya in the Brickyard 400 to be the only driver to ever win the Indianapolis 500 and the Brickyard 400 to be a special title. A lot of special memories, as you had said, have been a lot of dreams been fulfilled. The Brickyard also, a lot of dreams have been in as well. Well, we've got a great show for you today. Kevin's going to be out of the lot. We're going to be talking about the show here in coming up here in just a minute. Kevin and I will be talking with Ross Curtis, president of the International Race. We're going to be talking about some going on there, and Kevin and I and the entire battle team are going to be headed up to Michigan to cover that race, and we're going to be at live Michigan International Sway on August 10th. So mark your calendars, minions. We went on the road. We're taking the show on the road to the Michigan International Race. So a huge win for us there. And, you know, I want to tell you what, we're in our brand new studios here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We have group or our other ones to say so. But, hey, we are here. And, we've got, as you know, we're having some technical difficulties, but we've got every set up and ready to go. Guys, we're going to break. We get back, myself and that redneck from Philly, who's all the action on from the fan side, out at the co-lot, out at 16 Georgetown. So the fun is just beginning right here on, the annual Brickyard Special. We haven't quite been there 20 years, although sometimes like it. We'll be right back. My name is Marcel Presidente. This is the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. If you like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Brickyard 400. It's race weekend. Myself and Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly, and yes, there can be rednecks from Philly. Kevin is out of the coke lot with us. Kevin, what's going on out of the coke lot this morning?
Well, you're the normal. People are trying to wake up. Well, I don't know if you want to call it that. Trying to sleep, to wake up from their drunkenness. And a lot of cooking. I'm walking by campsites right now. I'm trying to get free food, dude. And no one's giving me free food, and I'm not happy about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have you continue to work on getting some free food. We're going to, real quickly, you know, a lot of times, a lot of people don't understand what all goes into a race. And one of those key components that pit crews work on every day and pit and crew chiefs is tire strategy. And tire strategy, especially with the type of weather that we're expected to have here this weekend, Kevin, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, tire strategy comes a lot into it. So they actually have what's called tire specialist. So thanks to our friends from over at NASCAR.com, we're going to learn a little bit about the tire world in racing.
Tire specialists are very important. What we do is we take care of all the sets for the weekend, creating hopefully the best match sets that we can, talking with Goodyear about the certain compounds that we're going to run for the weekend. We do tire testing for Goodyear with them for the fact that we need to figure out what's going on to make sure that the tire's right, that the compound we're using is actually right for the racetrack, that the racetrack is going to accept that tire. Normal practice session, I'll talk with the crew chief about what we're going to do to start the weekend. We'll discuss what we're going to run for race pressure, what we're going to run for cube pressure, figure that all out, and try to get a game plan set in mind.
We'll take our time and figure out what we got to do right here. We'll be fine.
Austin Dillon has found the wall off of turn two.
Ricky!
Hey, can we get another set? Since we wrecked in practice?
What car?
The three car.
Did it mess up all four of them?
Just the right sides.
All right, Gil, they said we could get two right sides.
Good. Coming down. I have to measure all the tires and tread depth where all the tires to start so that we know as the race goes on, we can tell what the car is actually doing camber-wise, so a crew chief, Gil Martin, can make the adjustments that he needs to make based off of how our car is handling. Air pressure is very critical in the tire. Now we have computerized gauges, and we can go to a hundredth of a pound if we need to. We can be that critical on a tire. We mark the tires for a couple reasons. First of all, to know what sets. What we also mark the wheel weights on the tires just to know in case there's a vibration or it's out of balance that we can tell right away that a wheel weight may have fallen off or you know he hit the wall and the wheel has been bent and that's why we mark everything. I use a tread depth gauge to measure every single tire. The torques that we have, we scrape the tires because they come with no tread on them to begin with, so we scrape off the excess rubber. We also mark where we check our wears originally when the tire is brand new so that we can go back and recheck that after it's been run on the racetrack just to know that our data is correct. All of this stuff comes together to help with superior performance on the track.
All right, there you have it. Thanks to our friends over at NASCAR.com. Talking with us a little bit about the tire strategy. And speaking of tire strategy, Mr. Kevin Chapman is live out at the Coke lot out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. What is your tire strategy, Kevin, to get around the Coke lot?
Right now, the tire strategy to get around the Coke lot is mud tires.
Well, you know, I want to ask you a question here, Kevin. Certainly, you're out there covering the Coke lot with us for the weekend out there, certainly camping out there. We've got Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly, embedded in the Coke lot. That's what he's. We've got an embedded report in the Coke lot. But you know, in all seriousness, as we remember back at the Indianapolis 500, we remember that there was an issue where I guess some people maybe could not handle their alcohol. I don't know. But really, at the end of the day, somebody got shot, somebody got killed. Now, which obviously ruined the fun and the party for all fans. Have you seen an issue, a different issue as far as tighter security? Are there things that fans should know when going out to the coke lot?
Well, you know, everybody talks about rednecks and all that stuff, and which I am at camp redneck. But it's crazy that there's less issues during the brickyard and stuff like that. I haven't seen any. I mean, I've seen the drunk guys walk around stumbling, but that's it.
Kevin, we're gonna go back to that conversation because we Roger Curtis on the line with us, president of Michigan International Raceway. Kevin, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, Roger. I'm doing
Roger.
Great.
I tell you what, I got all kinds of different things. You know, it's Brickyard Weekend out here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Are you out here this weekend?
No, I'm actually racing myself. We've got a 12-hour go-kart race that MIS has a team that we participate in every year. So we're getting ready to start that here at 11 o'clock in Jackson, Michigan.
You know, I actually knew that. I apologize on my notes here, but to make sure we talk about go-kart, because we are going to talk about that, that's for sure.
That's all right.
But Roger Curtis, a.k.a. Elvis, is joining us, president of the Michigan International Raceway, and, of course, joining us as well is our partner in crime, Mr. Kevin Chapman, who's covering all the action for us. Roger, we have him embedded out at the Coke lot. So, Kevin, are you there?
You know, I'm still here. Believe it or not, I'm still here.
He's getting hazardous duty there, Roger. Because I tell you, with the rain and everything else. But Roger, I really do want to have some conversations with you. Certainly, we got the big race, the 20th lane up the Brickyard 400 out here at Indianapolis. And like I was just saying earlier, it seems like yesterday when we saw a young kid from Indiana win the first Brickyard 400. We know him as Jeff Gordon.
It is really hard to believe that NASCAR has been there that long, isn't it? I mean, it seems like they just started, like, maybe a couple years ago. It just blows my mind, the history and tradition that they've built at the Brickyard already, and it certainly isn't going to rival open wheel, but, man, how time flies. It's kind of scary, but I know, and here you got Jeff Gordon, now one of the senior members of the NASCAR Drivers Club, and it'd be really cool to see him win, I think, this weekend. I think the crowd, that'd be a fan favorite, and I know I'd like to see it.
Well, here in Indianapolis, Mayor Ballard made July 27th the official Jeff Gordon Day. So, you know, Jeff Gordon grew up dominating the short track across Indiana and certainly returned to NASCAR, and he did well out there at your track as well. We're excited about coming out on August 5th. We'll be there on the 15th, and we'll be there through the race on the 17th, and we're looking forward to doing our show out there from Michigan International Race, so hopefully we can get you to come on the show again. But I know you're doing some go-kart. Talk with us a little bit about what's going on with your go-kart team.
Well, there's a charity go-kart race. It used to be, believe it or not, a 24-hour race, which is just, and go-karts, it kills you. And the owner of the racetrack up in Jackson Raceway, Jackson, Michigan, got smart and made it a 12-hour race and got a lot more teams to participate. And we've had a lot of fun with it and raising money for some local charities. But we take it very, very seriously. There's about 15 teams that participate, and I'd say 5 to 6 of us are, we're like NASCAR drivers. We take it very seriously. There's been some heated words, some helmets thrown. Not that I did any of that, mind you, but it's a lot of fun, and we go up there and get going around the track, and very competitive, though, very, very competitive. So we've missed, believe it or not, a 12-hour race. Last year we finished second by 6 seconds, and then the year before we finished second by 27 seconds. So I'm hoping this is our year to win this thing.
Well, then, so we can assume that your pit crew is not like Casey Mears' Geico Late Pit Crew out there.
it should be a good day, and should be a good weekend down in Indianapolis too. Get the rain out of there, and get ready for some sunshine and some great racing there. And you know, I'm really excited about, and we've talked before last time I was on, about the new Chase Sprint Cup Series Chase that they've got, and the format and the emphasis on winning. And I'm sure you guys have talked a lot on the show already about some of the really big names that are not in the locked in the chase right now, and we're coming down to the last handful of races, so those chances for these guys to make the chase are dwindling quickly, and I think we're going to see one of the more exciting Brickyards that we've seen in a long, long time, and I think all the races from here on out to the chase, we're going to see some really great racing.
I couldn't agree with you more because, you know, we have the Brickyard this weekend, and then we have your race coming up on August the 17th. I could not agree with you more. But, Kevin Chapman, I know you're out there at the Coke lot trying to scope some free food, but what do you have for Roger Curtis?
Well, first off, Roger, as you know, Tom, I've never been to Michigan. I've never seen Elvis. So I do have one request while we're there. I've got to see where this Elvis thing is coming from.
Oh, boy. Well, I've got to go get the suit from the dry cleaners then, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you got a couple weeks.
All right.
But, no, Roger's right. I mean, I like the emphasis on wins. And Roger knows over the last couple of years is play safe. You know, just drive safe, get the most points you can, and you're in the chase. This year, when they said wins, I mean, you've seen the endings of some races that would not have been the same way last year. They're not playing safe because people can't afford to right now. And, you know, you've got a couple people locked in with 3-2 wins. They've got Jeff Gordon. He only has one win, but because he's first in points, he's pretty much locked in anyhow. But you've got these drivers that are – he's got 4 or 5 races left or I'm out. So I think it's going to be one of the better Brickyards because of that. So, you know, and I like the chase. Now, as far as the chase goes, Roger, what do you think with this new knockout system? I mean, what do you think of that when the chase actually starts?
I don't mind the 3 races and you whittle the field down. I think that's really cool. At first, I was really apprehensive of 1 race, all the marbles, you know, first 4 to finish wins the championship. But as the season's gone on, you know, I've gotten used to it a little bit more. I kind of like it. We all know motorsports is different than the stick and ball sports. And, you know, the whole chase format was set up where you could have a bad race during one of the first 3 races in that particular round, and you could still come back and move on. But when you get down to that last race, there's no bad race. There's no bad laps. There's no bad pit stops. You've got to be perfect to win that championship. And so the more I've thought about it, I thought, you know what, I do kind of like one race for everything, because if you've gotten into that final 4, the elite 4, I guess, as I'll start to call them for myself, whoever comes out of that race deserves it, because they will have had the perfect race and they will have made the cut through all the other rounds. So I'm pretty excited. I hope the NASCAR fans and those that kind of sit on the fence and are, oh, I'm a little interested, but I don't know. I hope this really gets their juices flowing and they can get into it, because I think this is about as close as you're going to get to unbelievable racing and intensity like NASCAR's probably never, ever seen, except maybe the year Tony Stewart won the championship and had to come from behind as much as he did and win that last race and won on a tiebreaker as it was with Carl Edwards. So I think the intensity of the chase this year will just be unparalleled by any other sport.
Well, I absolutely agree with you 100%. Now, Roger and Kevin is also out there at the embedded with us at the Coke lot. So if you hear some weird, strange noises that just come out of nowhere, that would be why. And I'm sure you know what it's like, because you have something very similar out there at Michigan as well, with camping and the fans as well.
I thought it was just Kevin's stomach from the food he was eating.
It might be. Who knows what kind of food he's getting there? Because, you know, rednecks at NASCAR races, they mix it all together. You know, a little sauce, a little beans, a little gravy, a little eggs, you know, mix it all together, put it on a campfire with a beer, it tastes good.
That is so true. And, you know, before Roger goes, one last question, Don, is this new, I guess, drivers are for the first time, you hear it more this year, at least I do, about they're wanting to change the schedule. Have you heard anything about, you know, how is NASCAR, the officials talking to, like, people like yourself about a possible change, or is this still just one of these drivers are throwing stuff around about possible changes?
No, I think there's some changes coming. I don't know if they're going to be as dramatic as some people would like or hope or think, but I do think there's some changes coming. It's not just the drivers driving the conversation. It's the TV networks with NBC and Fox starting fresh next year. They feel like, hey, let's maybe do some things a little bit differently. I hear there is definitely going to be a third week off next year during the regular season, if you will. But I do think that, you know, they're trying to avoid some weather issues, that there is traditionally weather issues at some of these tracks, and move some things around a little bit. So I think that the races at Michigan, that we may move a week or two one way or the other, but they're not going to be dramatic changes. So other than that, I've not heard a lot, and we still may not move. I just don't know. We're coming off a leap year, and so that traditionally is just going to move a couple of things around anyways. But it wouldn't bother me to see, you know, I think all of us recognize that there are some glaring issues in the schedule, but you've got so many constituents. You know, you've got the Speedway Motorsports tracks. You got the ISC tracks. You got the great folks down there at the Brickyard, Pocono, Dover. And everyone puts in their list of dates and of what they want and the ones that no one wants. And it makes – I feel bad for the folks at NASCAR have to try and make this schedule and accommodate all the tracks, all the drivers, all the owners, TV, radio. It's tough, and you're never going to make everyone happy. But there'll be some good tweaks, I think, coming out next year.
Well, good tweaks and good tweets for that matter, but I find it very, very, very interesting as well. And it certainly, and NASCAR is growing through some growing pains. I think in a lot of ways, NASCAR may have reached their goals, so they've got to figure out something new and different to keep it in for fans. And we've seen not only in NASCAR, but IndyCar and other races, and a lot of it's economic reasons and so forth, but we've just seen a fall off, you know, from fans' attendance, and maybe you've seen a little bit of a decline or an increase out at Michigan there. But, you know, when you have, for example, you have Michigan and Indianapolis so close together and the dates so close together, sometimes they've got to make a decision on which race to go to, where maybe before they would go to both races. So I think maybe one of the challenges that NASCAR has when they put a schedule together is the proximity between the two races.
Yeah, and it's not just our two races. You throw Kentucky in there, throw Chicago in there, you know, and even to some degree, I know both of us, Michigan and the Brickyard, get a lot of fans from the East too. So, you know, throw Pocono in there a little bit if you want to, and at Iowa now. I know they don't have a Cup race, but there's a lot more competition in the Midwest than there was a few years ago, and I think that makes it difficult. The economy certainly compressed the number of NASCAR fans that are able to attend racing, and I think all of us in this sport, and IndyCar too. You know, let's just throw all of motorsports in there, to be candid. If, you know, we're struggling right now. We're trying to find a way to get millennials and the next generation interested in motorsports, and there are certainly opportunities to do that. You know, but you're going to have to work really hard at them, and it's going to have to be a coordinated effort. So all of us, it's not ISC and SMI and the Brickyard and the owners and the drivers as individuals in their own silos. It's all of us are going to have to work together to bring this next generation of fans in and start to get more eyeballs in front of the TV screen and get more butts in the seats. And, again, I think it's possible, but this is like steering a big freighter. You're not going to turn it around overnight. And when you do turn it around, everyone's got to be coordinated from the wheelhouse to the engine room. And I think that's going to be very important for our sport as we go forward. But one other thing I want to mention, and I'm sorry if I'm rambling, but you talked about changes that NASCAR and IndyCar are making to stay relevant. And I just want to point out to listeners, you know, think that, oh, you know, NASCAR and IndyCar, they're doing these things, cheaping the sport, not like the old days. I challenge you to find any sport that is like the old days. Everybody has made changes to stay relevant, whether it's interleague play in baseball, two-point conversion in football, three-point play in basketball, X Games, you know, making their way into the Olympics so the Olympics stay relative. So I'm sorry, but every sport does this to stay relevant to their fan base.
Well, one more final question for you, because I know you're very busy with your go-kart race. Certainly, we're counting down here to the Crown Royal presents the John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard, presented by Big Machine Records. Gee whiz, Roger, what? We always, that's the other thing, is like, how many sponsors can we get on one race? But one quick question I want, because I know that you as an executive with a racetrack may have a different opinion than maybe some team owners or drivers or even fans. But when we look at this Racing Team Alliance issue that's going on, not very popular with some fans, very popular with owners, and kind of mixed with drivers. So where do track executives like yourself fall in on this conversation?
Wow, well, this is going to be Roger Curtis speaking. I don't know where the other track executives fall into line on this. So this is solely me, but I guess two things. One, going back to my previous comment, anybody who is going to help take this sport forward and bring more fans to it and make it healthier and stronger and grow it, if they're part of that team that wants to do that and help turn this big freighter around, I'm all for it. If they want to take a silo and build the walls higher and thicker, I'm not for that. And I'm not saying, I don't know where these guys are going to be, where they're going to fall in that spectrum yet. I really don't. But if they really want to help take this sport forward in a positive way for all stakeholders, then fantastic. The one thing that I think we all recognize they're probably going to be wanting is some more of the TV money. You know, that they've not said that. That's been unspoken, but everyone is inferring that most certainly. And so I guess my one comment with that is if I'm NASCAR, I don't know that I'd have – I would look at it with them because I understand the pressures of fielding and running a team. But with that, there's got to be some sort of spending cap because you don't want 5 or 10 more years from now. We all know on this show, you give owners more money, they're going to go spend it to try and win the race, right? So if you give them a little bit more money,
oh, yeah,
you don't want 5 or 10 years from now them coming back saying, well, you know, hey, guess what, guys? Now I need a little bit more. So I think if there's going to be an exchange of some money, the TV money, to me, there's also going to have to be, fine, you're going to agree then to a spending cap, and we're going to start getting this sport, the cost, under control a little bit.
Absolutely. Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Raceway. Roger, we're so excited to be up there at your track in just a few short weeks doing our show from there. And it's always so much fun, and always fun to follow you on social media, Twitter, and so forth. How can people find you on social media?
Oh, you can go to @MISRoger. That's where I'm at on Twitter. And if anyone wants more information about the races up at Michigan, you can go to MISpeedway.com. or call 800-354-1010. Love to see some Hoosiers up here with us. And, hey, Kevin, make sure you take your Pepto-Bismol and get that stomach straight, because we'll take you out in the infield when you get up here, and we'll have some more food.
Hey, as a chef, you know I'm all about food, so I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, guys.
Only if you wear an Elvis costume.
All right, we'll do it.
All right. Roger, Chris, we appreciate you joining us. Have a good race with your go-kart race. We're going to have us a NASCAR race here in Indianapolis.
I'll be watching. You have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Bye-bye. Roger Curtis, president of the International Raceway. So glad that he took some time to join us, talk with us about his charity go-kart race. Of course, we're going to be up there at Michigan in a couple weeks. Myself and the entire Balance team going to be doing our show on the road at the Michigan International Raceway. We'll be right back right after this with Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan. Our Brickyard Special continues on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
All right, my minions, welcome back to our annual Brickyard special. It is Brickyard 400. It is Super Kroger Super Weekend. It is NASCAR time, and joining us also is Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan. Matt, how are you doing, sir?
I'm well. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, and also joining us, we have an embedded reporter out at the Coke lot, Mr. Kevin Chatton, that redneck Philly, and he's trying to score some free food, and some of it we don't really know what it is that he's eating, but, you know, he's bound to eat anything that's got gravy, hot sauce, eggs, beer, brat that fell off the grill on the ground, all mixed up, chopped up together, and made a shake out of it. Kevin Chatton, how you doing, buddy?
You know, hey, it's good. If you rinse the brat off that fell on the ground with beer, the beer will cure everything. So you're okay.
There you go. So Kevin Chatton is out at the Coke lot, and joining us also is Matt Hicks from 1070. Man, I tell you what, as we've talked a little bit on this show already today, it seems like just a short time ago that a kid from Indiana winning on the dirt tracks wins the first running of the Brickyard 400. Can you believe it's been 20 years?
No, I can't, and I was at that Brickyard 400, and I remember as a teenager, just to give you an idea how long 20 years ago was, I remember saying there were only two people I wanted to see win the race. One was A.J. Foyt, who actually did lead a lap, if you recall. It was due to pit cycling. But the other person was Jeff Gordon. I mean, he had gripped, I think, Central Indiana pretty quickly and had a pretty large fan base here. And, of course, he was already, even then in 1994, he was already kind of getting that negative, if you recall, back in the old days, not a lot of people liked Jeff Gordon from the NASCAR circles. Tim Richmond kind of brought me into NASCAR. I was not really a big NASCAR fan before he switched over from IndyCar to NASCAR. But Jeff Gordon was a guy right away that I liked a lot. And it was kind of funny because back in those days, you know, not a lot of guys liked Jeff Gordon. He was kind of viewed as the unrightful heir apparent to Dale Earnhardt. Not a lot of fans took too kindly to that, but it's kind of funny how it's come full circle now, and there are quite a few people that kind of have found some respect for him. So I think that is very neat to see, but to say it's already been 20 years is just, wow, that just kind of knocks you on your butt, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? It is kind of funny how you look at history and the way that races have come together. You know, back in 1995, probably one of the greatest Rick Yards we have had with Earnhardt Sr. And the rain delayed that race for several hours. And in fact, many fans had already gone home, but it started in the afternoon. And Dale started 13th and hit the wall early in the race. There was no damage. But he didn't even lead the race until the 133rd lap. So it certainly was one of the best Brickyards of all time. And it started in much wet weather like we have today. So as you look at today's field, this weekend's field between the Nationwide and the Cup races, what are some of the things that you're looking at, especially as we close in tight on this chase?
Well, I think you look at the chase in particular, and the Brickyard has produced, in the last few years at least, has produced, shall we say, a surprise winner. Ryan Newman last year in particular, a guy that was kind of on his way out at Stuart Haas, and it looked like he would just kind of ride out the rest of the season, then all of a sudden he wins a race at the Brickyard. I look for something like that to happen again this year. I think you look at several teams that have not gotten a win yet, and with that win, catapulting them into the chase. Obviously, you look early at the favorites like Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon. Don't discount Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's not been very good at this track, but yet he's had a very good car this year and a real dark horse. And I know he wasn't great in practice yesterday, but I'm telling you, Juan Montoya knows his way around the track in these NASCARs. He has, it seems like, led every race he's ever been here in. I suppose that's probably not factual, but it seemed to me the last, well, maybe not so much last year, but the previous 2 years, silly things have gotten in his way, preventing him from winning the Brickyard. I don't know that he's going to win the race, but I think he's going to be around, and I think that will be exciting for fans to see a guy essentially doing a one-off. I think he might be doing a couple other Cup races with Penske, but for the most part, a one-off, and a non-points guy could really mess this whole thing up for somebody else. So that would be kind of interesting to see it all. But, there are several guys that can win this race, but I would not be surprised at all to see it being a first-time winner on the season to get them into the chase. And what a better way to find yourself in the chase for the championship by winning at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Well, absolutely. And how special of a win it is, even if you don't make it to the chase, you can win out at the Brickyard. How awesome that is, as we saw. You know, just so many drivers, not only with this car, but when you win it at the Brickyard, when you win at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, your name goes down in racing history. But also, going down in history today is our first time we've ever had an embedded reporter. Kevin Chapman is embedded out at the Coke lot and has been out there since last night for us, and will be there through tomorrow, and we're going to be taking our show on the road, Matt, in August. We're going to be going up to the Michigan race. We're going to be doing our show live out there at the Michigan International Raceway, and of course, Roger Curtis has said he's going to dress up as Elvis, and so it's going to be fun out in the infield out there at the Michigan Raceway. So Kevin's getting some combat training right now. Come on, buddy.
Well, I think, you know, I'm glad I spent 30 years in anti-terrorism. I need it for this Coke lot someday. But, and I agree with Matt. You know, when you're making a comment about Gordon in his early days, and I could be wrong. I am a Hendrix Motorsport fan, so I'm kind of partial. But what gets me about that is I think part of the reason he was hated so much in his beginning days was if you look back, that was Earnhardt's competitor. You know, Gordon was the only one with the balls to go up and nail Earnhardt back when Earnhardt tried to intimidate him. And, you had this young kid coming in the sport. He's challenging at that time the fan favorite, Earnhardt Sr. And, to me, I think that's part of why when Gordy came into NASCAR, he had such a bad rep, if you want to use that word, with the fans, because he was the only one that challenged the Intimidator.
Oh, I thought, Matt, go ahead, Matt. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I think that's an excellent point. You know, you talk about Jeff Gordon's kind of upbringing in racing, if you will, and he was not ever afraid to get dirty, if you will. I think it was Kurt Cavan that had a great story that actually ran in USA Today and the Star. I'd kind of like a little reminder of how Jeff Gordon came up, and the great story is when he did the night before the 500 as a very young guy, like 17 or 18, and went out and won the thing. I mean, he has always had that little great mix of luck, skill, and talent, and that's put him in great position to not only win a lot of races, but to also kind of be now known as one of the great, really one of the great race car drivers of this generation. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see guys like Jeff Gordon, and even to a higher extent like Michael Schumacher. We didn't get to see those guys cross genres hardly at all. I mean, I know Gordon got in the Formula One car, and by the way, laid down some really hot laps. But you know, you never saw Schumacher get in an Indy car or get in a Sprint Cup car. I think that's too bad because it's so much easier to say, well, A.J. Foyt and Mario Andretti are two of the greatest race car drivers ever to live. But you might be saying the same thing about guys like even Dale Earnhardt, who we never really saw get in the other cars very much. I know that there are rumors of secret tests over the years for all these guys. But the reality of to see them in a race would have been kind of very exciting to see, you know, who truly was of this generation between guys like Earnhardt and Gordon and Schumacher and even, you know, guys like Rick Mears, who was the greatest of this kind of current newer generation of drivers, and we'll never really know, but the reality of it is a guy like Jeff Gordon is in that conversation with what he's done in the modern age of NASCAR. I don't even know, you know, you might put Jimmy Johnson in that category as well, but it's a short list for sure.
You know, we were talking about Dale Sr. in the number three car. Certainly an interesting bit of history to see the number three, of course, now driven by Austin Dillon, the grandson of Richard Childress. Obviously, Richard has you don't own the car, but you don't own the number. And so Richard said, you know, we felt like it was time to reintroduce the number three car. So a lot of fans have had mixed reaction to that, but when you look at the track this year at the Brickyard, the number three car will be back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Matt.
No, and that, you know, I think that's a nice thing. I mean, of course, you know, I'm kind of a sentimental sap when it comes to these sort of things. I think it would have been nice to see that number either have gone away or transferred over to Hendrick, or, you know, but I understand there's to be in the reality of it, there's a way to monetize that number still, and I get why Richard brought it back, but I think it is nice that he kept it in the family, if you will. I mean, it is his grandson running the car, so that is a little poetic, if you will, I suppose. But I don't have a big problem with it that they're running the number. I know several fans do, and they really don't like it. But no, I don't have a big problem that they're running it. It is nice to see the black number three out there again, and I don't think it'll be long, by the way, before that young man's winning a lot of races. He's got a lot of talent, and so does his brother. And I think they'll be doing well in the field here very soon.
We're joined now by Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, also out of the Coke Lot. I know you're a big you're a big Jeff Gordon fan. Sorry about that. But when you look at the number three, when you look at the number three car returning to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, certainly a lot of fans have a lot of mixed reactions about that. But what are your thoughts?
We're an interesting breed in the NASCAR fan world, and we're very opinionated. You're one or the other in this. You hate the guy, you don't like the guy or the driver or the car. I'm glad it's back. I like history. I like the story behind it. When it first came back, my only concern was if you're going to have somebody behind the wheel of the number three, they damn well better be good. I mean, you can't put a driver that's not good behind the number three. And I wasn't sure how Austin would do. I mean, I knew he had talent, but I just wasn't sold on it yet. But like Matt said, it's only a time where he's going to be in victory lane a good bit. So with it being said that, you know, they do have a good driver behind the number three, I like it coming back to the track. You know, I remember when Kevin Harvick took over right after that. Mm-hmm. He didn't drive the three, but, you know, I remember when he took over into that, and it was sentimental, and everybody was all, well, no one can replace Earnhardt. And the thing is, they're not trying to replace Earnhardt with Dillon. They're just trying to get the number back out on the track.
Yeah, and I think
I agree with – go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I was just going to say there is something to be said about history, and I think that is important, especially as we are always introducing fans to motorsport, whether it be NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, or what have you, the sports car series. We're always introducing new fans, and that is a wonderful opportunity to not only talk about a great race car driver, but also just another reminder that the reality of it is, and I think it's part of the reason some people watch, but the reality of it is every time these men and women take the track, there is always a chance that it could be the last time they get behind a wheel. And I think that is a sobering reminder of having that car out there again, of what not only the racing world lost, but his family and his fans, friends, lost that day in Daytona. I think there is something really important about the history aspect of having that number out there. I would agree with that.
Well, I'm losing my voice. You know, it's just all the action out here at the Brickyard. When we look at some of the other good Brickyard 400s, and we look back at, you know, the 1996, and we look at 1996, Dale Jarrett started the race 24th, but he trailed only teammate Ernie Ivan with 13 laps. So that was an exciting race as well, Matt, if you remember that race.
I do. Both the Dale Jarrett wins were actually pretty exciting. You think about that one. You think about some of the ones that looked like they were going to go according to script. There was, I think it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Juan Montoya, what did he lead, like 100 and some laps? Then all of a sudden they start cycling through for green flag pit stops and he gets caught speeding. And his chance to win the race essentially ended. He had to play catch up and put it in the wall by the time it was all said and done. And let's not forget, of course, the biggest – we talk about these great races, but we can't forget about the biggest disaster, really, in modern NASCAR as far as the races go. I'm not trying to compare this to anything tragic. But as far as the races themselves go, the 08 race where the tires – I mean, Goodyear brought such a crappy tire, they couldn't last 15 laps. And that was a disaster that, quite frankly, the track has still not yet recovered from.
And are you there, Matt?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Oh, it sounded like it lost you. No, I absolutely agree with you. Well, let's look at today's nationwide race out at the Brickyard, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're joined by Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan and Kevin Chapman, who's in bed with us out at the Coke lot. Matt, if we look at today's nationwide race, and I'm just still astonished at how quick they can turn the road course into an oval course in just a matter of hours overnight. But we got some weather coming in, so there's going to be a lot of different strategies that are going on. When you look at the nationwide race day, what are some of the strategies that you think that the pit crews and the crew chiefs are going to have to look at, especially with the incoming weather that we may be dealing with this weekend?
Well, I think first off, you're going to probably – I don't know what's going to be sacrificed. Obviously, the schedule is now already compressed. I mean, we've missed a practice. I don't know if that will just be called off. get the track dry and try to get out for nationwide qualifying at noon and cup qualifying at 2. Green flag 4:30 for the nationwide race, and my guess is they're racing for halfway. It's hard to tell. You don't know what the weather's going to do today, but I think you're going to want to be in the lead at halfway just to feel good about where you are. Of course, modern weather forecasting for these pit crews, even in the nationwide race, probably outshines most local television stations. I mean, they know when it's coming, when it's going to be there. They know more than we do as far as the weather goes. So I think that will be the strategy, is to try to get their guy out when the rain comes. Because the reality of having a 4:30 green flag, yes, you could probably withstand one rain shower, but my guess is if it comes after halfway, the race will be called. I mean, you've got some cup drivers doing this race today. In particular, Joey Logano is going to do it. Kyle Busch is going to do this race. Paul Menard, amongst a few others. So we'll have to see as far as, the Matt Kenseths of the world and the Elliott Sadlers, who's a nationwide regular but always a threat to win the race. But to see if somebody maybe off the beaten path of the normal cup guys that do the nationwide races, to see if one of those guys can't get a little luck with the weather and pull out a victory today.
We're here with Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan. This is our Brickyard special, guys. I'm questioning for Matt Hicks, and we're going to yield to my good friend over at the Coke Lot, Mr. Kevin Chapman. Kevin, what do you got for Matt Hicks?
Well, Matt, Tom, I'm looking at the race car for Raceway Ministries, and it's always on sale. It's on sale right now. Hold on, let me look at the price tag. It's for sale for $15,500. It's negotiable. So if Matt wants to help us out a little bit, I think we could get a race car for the balance.
Okay.
There we go. We keep
only
saying we want to
drive it.
But we keep saying we want to design a race helmet.
I'm sorry, you broke up on me, Tom.
I thought Kevin was going to say something. We keep saying we're going to design a race helmet here at the balance. Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure to join you. It's Saturday morning. I'm just so stoked. I can't talk. Matt, it's been a pleasure having you. So, 1070 The Fan, Matt, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and stalk you on Facebook?
I am at HicksM05, HicksM05. On Twitter, and my friend Jersey Johnny and I have been given the weekend off, so we are not going to broadcast tomorrow, but we will be back at it next Sunday at noon on 1070 The Fan and 107.5 FM to talk about not only the Brickyard 400, but also camp, training camp, Colts going through the injury bug already, losing Vic Ballard yesterday, so we'll talk about that and whatever else has happened this week at Colts training camp.
All right, Matt, we appreciate joining us, and we really look forward to talking with you in the near future about the Colts. Matt Hicks of 1070, my name is Mark Lascelles. Right around the corner, we've got Toby Christie from the Final Lap going to be joining and breaking down this weekend's Brickyard 400. This is our annual Brickyard 400 special on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The balance.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
All right, my minions, my name's Saul Michael, El Presidente. Welcome back to the Balance. Here we are, our annual Backyard 400 special, and it's been great to have Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Raceway, on with us, as well as Matt Hicks from 70 The Fan. What, we literally saved the best for last. Our next guest, who's a first-time appearance here on the Balance, Mr. Toby Christie from the final lap. Excuse me. I think I have my final voice. Toby, you may have to take over the show. Toby Christie from the final lap. How you doing, Toby?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, fantastic. And also joining us is Mr. Kevin Chapman. We actually have him embedded out at the Coke Lot. So he's been there all weekend as well. Kevin, are you there?
Barely. No, I'm just not here. Tom, I went down, as you know, I'm trying to find food at the Coke Lot. And like I told you, I found a race car we're going to buy. And it is certified to race in the Arkin also. It's only, like I said, 15,000. So get some of our listeners to pitch in. We can buy a race car. And, it's from our Raceway Ministry. So he'll probably, when we're done with Toby, maybe get some of the guys from the Raceway Ministry team on to talk about what they're doing in general. So yeah, I look forward to that.
Well, we'll do that, and I hope that you can find some free food. I know you found gravy and egg, hot sauce, beer, brought the fell on the ground, so it's all good. Toby Christie joining us, and we'll get back to Kevin here. He's embedded with us on Coke Lot, certainly hanging out with the fans as we geared up for the Brickyard 400. But joining us for the very first time, Toby Christie from the final lap. Toby, I really appreciate you taking some time to join us, listening to your show a little bit this morning. And I tell you what, one of the things that you say you're the best NASCAR podcast next to the official NASCAR podcast, and I believe it. You guys rock. I really enjoyed listening to your show this morning as I was getting ready for my show this morning. So talk to us a little bit about how special the 20th running of the Brickyard 400 is.
Well, first off, you guys are getting me really hungry, but talking about all that food stuff. But yeah, the 20th anniversary of the Brickyard 400, this is so big. I mean, this is something that back in 1992 when they did the fire test for NASCAR, it was just unprecedented. This was a track that was nothing but Indy cars all the time, and to have NASCAR on this track seemed like a sacrilege at the time. So the fact that it's 20 years in now, Jeff Gordon, of course, won the first one. He's looking for his fifth one this time around. And we're 20 years into this thing. It's very, very impressive that this tradition has kept going. It's pretty strong still. I know we had the tire debacle back in 2008 where tires were only lasting about 8 laps, and some people are still a little sore over that whole deal. But other than that, it's really gone without a hiccup for the last 20 years.
Well, and we, as we're just talking about with Matt Hicks, it's hard to believe that just 20 years ago we saw a young kid from Indiana who was doing well on the dirt tracks turn around and win the very first Brickyard 100. And what a tradition, what a legacy, just by being at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has created for NASCAR. And you look at, you know, Dale Sr., and you look at Dale Jarrett, just to name a couple winners, and certainly legends upon legends upon legends. And we look at, you know, now we look at the possibility of Juan Pablo Montoya to be the very first driver to ever win a Brickyard 400 and an Indy car and an Indy 500 as well at the same track. How exciting is that? Dreams are built here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but they are also lost.
They really are. And, you know, I mean, there's so many great stories out there this year. There's even guys like Matt Crafton who are showing up just as a one-off deal with RAB Racing. Just a whole bunch of these guys are showing up out of the woodwork. Bobby Labonte is here, the 2000 champion of this race. And there's a bunch of guys, but realistically, do all of them have a shot to win? I mean, usually not. Their equipment's not as good, but you never know. Racing's a very, very strange game. Anything can always happen. Tires fail, engines blow. People make mistakes. So, I mean, anything's always possible. But at this kind of a racetrack, very technical, takes very, very good equipment to be able to get into victory lane at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So realistically, some of these other teams that don't usually show up from week to week shouldn't have a chance to win, but you never know.
We're talking with Toby Christie from the Final Lap, and hands down, probably one of the best NASCAR shows I've heard in a long time, and I really enjoyed listening to them this morning before our show. Kevin Chapman's out at the Coke Lot, that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Toby, believe it or not, a redneck can be found in Philly. We found him with Kevin Chapman. Kevin, what do you got for for Toby for us today?
Well, I don't know if Toby was able to hear his little part we had about tires then. But the rating today is one of the things that I was thinking about this morning. You know, open wheel, they have their rain tires. And there's rumor, there's talk about should NASCAR switch to rain tires so they can race on those days. And I don't think it would work with NASCAR, that body style, the chassis. I don't think that is something that could happen. And I didn't know with Toby, I know he has a great knowledge in NASCAR. Do you think that they could put rain tires on these cars and go out there like they do open wheel?
Well, Kevin, I think if they could, they would have already done it. The big problem you have with NASCAR is these cars are turning almost 1,000 horsepower, and these tires are very, very narrow compared to what you have on the open wheel cars and other series like that that use the rain tires. And what you've got is a situation where you burn the tires off incredibly fast, and when you do that, they start exploding and detonating, and it's not a good recipe for success. Not only that, but at ovals, when water's kind of built up, it's not a very good recipe for success to get through the turns without slip-sliding as well. On road course, it's a little bit different. It's more technical. It's not as wide open all the way around the racetrack. So when you have wide-open speeds and spots where you don't have to necessarily slow down as much, it makes for a very, very treacherous situation when it's wet, even with rain tires and stuff like that.
Well, and that's where when you talk about the turns and the argument, that's where I looked at the cars and I didn't see how it would physically work. I mean, NASCAR, we have enough tire issues that every year Goodyear tries to figure out, okay, what can we do for this track and that track based on the weather changes, everything else. I just don't think we could throw that type of tire on a car and go.
Yeah, I mean, that's why NASCAR has never even toyed with the notion. They've talked about it on courses. They even tried it in the Sprint Cup Series and the exhibition races over in Japan for a couple of years, and they've tried it in the Nationwide Series. They've actually used it to some success in the Nationwide Series over the last few seasons on some road courses where there's been some rain, but I don't think they're in the business of ever wanting to do that in the Sprint Cup Series on any kind of oval.
We're talking with Toby Christie for Final Lap, and really I appreciate you taking some time to join us here for the Brickyard 400 as well. So we won't keep you too long, but as we look at, well, first of all, what do you think about our new scoring pawn out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Our new story?
I said, I apologize. What do you think about our new scoring pylon here at Brickyard 400, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Oh, the scoring pylon, that thing is pretty slick. for something that's been such old technology for so long here. They've really stepped it up, and it's quite colorful, and I think it's pretty sweet. I think it's something the fans are really going to enjoy as this race goes on throughout the day.
It looks like a giant digital billboard as you drive down the highway and you see the digital billboards. But as we look at the standings and we look at the nationwide, so let's talk a little bit about these Dillon boys. Richard Childress, certainly they're pedigreed. They're Richard Childress's grand boys. So certainly they've come about it naturally. But you look at Titan, you look at Austin Dillon, and Austin has a great opportunity to showcase the number three car coming back to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Not been there since Dale Sr. drove it. And then we also look at Ty Dillon, who could do very well in the nationwide race today.
Yeah, and Ty Dillon, I think, actually has the better chance of the two this weekend. He's been very fast in the nationwide series practices we had yesterday. And, I mean, he's looking very, very good. Austin Dillon's been kind of sluggish in his rookie season. He's done well. He hasn't made any huge mistakes, but he hasn't had those really, really just overwhelming performances where you look at it and go, man, you know what? He's really starting to click now. But for Ty Dillon, I really think this might be a good weekend for him to bust through and get his first Nationwide Series win. He's performing quite well already.
Well, and we're talking with Toby Christie of the Final Lap. And you know what? It is neat to see these young drivers come up and begin to make a name for themselves in the NASCAR and Nationwide Series. Look at today's race to the Nationwide Series. What are some, as we already talked about, tires are going to be a factor. Weather's going to be a factor. When we look at Nationwide race, and, you know, as Matt Hicks talked about in our last segment there, that they're racing the halfway point. So what is the strategy that these crew chiefs are going to use, especially when you look at drivers like Chase Elliott, Reagan Smith, Elliott Sadler, and, of course, Ty Dillon, all of them up at the top in standings, in the nationwide standings? Their strategy has to be different than perhaps than maybe different than Dakota Armstrong's.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be very, very conservative for sure. You don't know if the rain's going to come, and if it does come, you don't know if it's going to stick around long enough to cancel the race. So for those guys, if they're kind of on the fence, they're about getting tires and stuff like that, they've got to kind of plan for the full distance just so they can at least salvage a decent finish if it does go the full distance. Guys like Dakota Armstrong, like you're mentioning, I mean, they can gamble. If it looks like it's going to rain, they can stay out there and just go for the win. I mean, why not? If you're mired so far deep in the standings right now, this is a chance to steal one if you see a rain cloud coming. And that could end the whole thing, as we saw in Daytona with Eric Almirola winning the Coke Zero 400.
Kevin, do you have anything for Toby regarding the nationwide race or tomorrow's race?
Well, Toby had a good point. I mean, there's some drivers nationwide and on the sprint side that you're looking at the weather, but they also got to look at where they are. You know, Kyle Larson, that's who I'd like to see to win today, to be honest with you, other than Jeff Gordon. If it's not Jeff Gordon, it needs to be Kyle Larson. But, you know, he's right there in that bubble where he's one of those rookie drivers, but he a one win at this point in the season, he could be in the chase. So, you know, you've got drivers now come into today and tomorrow that with this new concept of how you get in the chase and all, I think this is going to be one of the best Brickyards. And you have the 20-year history. That plays into it no matter what. It gives that sentiment behind it, so you already feel that this is going to be a great race just because of that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you might even see one of those moments between Jimmy Spencer and Kurt Busch a few years ago when they were wrecking each other out, and then one was telling the other one to kiss his butt as they were driving by the track. So, I mean, you never know. These guys are going to get their feelings hurt a little bit. You're getting really close to chase time now. I mean, we're closing in on it. It's going to be here before you know it, and it's go or go home, basically. You win, you're in. You don't, you might be staying home. So these guys are going to have a sense of urgency for sure. And like you're saying, Kevin, you might see some crazy stuff out there on Sunday.
Well, Toby, I cannot believe it's been 20 years that we've been having the Brickyard 400, and what a tradition and a legacy that we have established here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Now for NASCAR, of course, IndyCar is IndyCar in itself, and the Indy 500 as well. But we look at NASCAR, and this is one of the premier tracks, one of the premier races, one of the win. As you look back over the last 20 years, what have been some of your favorite races and why?
At this racetrack?
Track at Well, at the Brickyard 400, I should say, over the last 20 Brickyard 400s, what have been your favorite Brickyards?
Well, I mean, that first one has to really stand out. I mean, the battle just to lead that first lap was ridiculous. The Arnhart almost wrecked just trying to lead the first lap. I mean, and then we've had so many memorable moments. I mean, even Bobby Labonte kind of cementing the fact that he was a championship contender in 2000, going on to see the deal later on in the year. I mean, there's been a lot of them. Even Juan Pablo Montoya coming so close there for a couple years and then slamming into the wall when he was looking like he was a for-sure winner of this race. And I mean, we've seen a lot of crazy, crazy things over the years. But I hope Sunday just keeps the tradition going.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Jeff Gordon or Jimmy Johnson going to be the first driver to get 5 Brickyard wins?
Well, they're looking pretty good as far as that possibly being the case. They've both got 4 each. I don't know if they'll get it done Sunday, but Jimmy Johnson for sure showed some speed yesterday. So I think if either one of the two is going to get it done, it's going to be him. But Jeff Gordon has been really, really good this year as well. His team's been performing at a whole new level than they've performed in probably the last 5, 6, maybe even 7 years. So I know he's confident. He feels a little bit under the weather. He got a little sick under his vacation week, but he looks ready to go. He looks focused, and he looks like he really wants this Brickyard 400 this weekend as well. So either one of them would be a pretty good bet in Vegas, I would think, to get their 5th win.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be NASCAR talk here in the balance that we do this every Saturday to talk NASCAR. And, you know, almost always we talk about one particular young lady by the name of Danica Patrick. To me, I'm not a big Danica fan. I'm not necessarily a Danica hater. I know that she has that fan base, either love or
hate.
Her
ass is so hot.
Danica.
I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
But the thing about Danica is, I will say one thing, she's a great marketing tool for GoDaddy. She's certainly easy on the eyes, a very nice-looking lady. But when we look at her in a race car at the Brickyard 400, how serious of a contender this year is Danica Patrick?
Well, I think she's more of a contender this year than she was last year. That being said, I don't expect her to be in the running for the win in the closing laps, but yesterday in practice, again, she put some pretty decent speed on the board. She was 16th fastest. I think it's the fact that she's been in any kind of deception at Indianapolis Motor Speedway in any kind of a stock car to this point. She was very good in Indy cars and the Indy 500 for sure. That was where she kind of got her claim to fame. But she's pretty much struggled since she got in a stock car at this place. But she really looks like she's starting to find a little bit of speed this weekend. And she's had some decent runs this year compared to last year in her rookie season as well. I mean, she's got a couple top tens already to this point. And very, very good over there in Kansas. So she's having a pretty good season compared to what she had last year, but I know with the expectations and with the talk that comes about her, you would expect a little bit more result.
We're talking with Toby Crisp from the final lap and also Kevin Chapman, who's embedded for us down at the Coke lot. Kevin, how's your search for food going?
Well, brother, I got 3 cookies. I found cookies and I found coffee. So
you didn't
find
them on the
cookies.
Ground, did you?
There was only one part
cookies.
Of the cookies on the ground. Yeah,
Well, Kevin, I know you're out there hanging out there with the fans, and certainly that's one of the big things that we do at this show, and the whole premise that it developed was for the fans. So we always like to try to hang out with the fans and have a good time with them, and certainly it's NASCAR. So, you know, they started on Thursday night, and they're going to be going strong on through tonight out at the Coke lot. But I wanted to give you one more question for Toby Christie regarding Chase Reddick for tomorrow's race. Kevin, are you there?
I'll be right there. Bye.
Yeah, I'm here, brother. I'm sorry.
I was
were talking food.
The cookie
I was getting off. Well, no, look. This is my weekend off from cooking. I'm not cooking jack this weekend. I ain't doing it.
You're just drinking jack, right?
Yeah. I will drink jack, but I will not cook jack this weekend.
All right, Kevin, we're going to let you have one more question for Toby Crisp from the final lap, and then we'll let you go because you're trying to get him interviews for the last part of the show or find food or I don't know exactly what you're doing out there, but I know you're on a mission. So what final question do you have for Toby Crisp of the final lap?
Well, and he's already kind of mentioned dark horses, but Well, it's a two-fold question, I guess. Well, number one, just out of curiosity, who Toby's favorite driver would be in NASCAR itself. And then also, if he had to pick that one guy that is on the bubble of the chase and not on the bubble, or to be in there or not, out of that group of like four or five, who would you say is going to sneak in?
Well, I mean, as far as favorite drivers go, I'm part of the media, so I'm not allowed to be very biased. When I first started being a fan of the sport, though, I came in around 1993, and I mean, I was a Dale Earnhardt fan when I first came in. Daytona 500, 1993 was the first race I saw, the Dale and Dale show. It was pretty awesome. And so from there, I just kind of worked my way up through, and once Dale left us in 2001, I mean, I didn't really have a favorite driver anymore, so I truly am an unbiased reporter at this point. As far as the guys on the bubble that might make it in, I'd say the guy I've got circled on my list is definitely Kyle Larson. I mean, he's had some really good runs. He finished second at Auto Club Speedway earlier in the year, and he's had some speed at a lot of different racetracks, top fives, top tens. I know he's had a couple mistakes here and there, but he's a rookie. You'd expect that. But he's had far more great showings than bad ones. And I think before the end of this thing's done, he's going to get a win, and I think he's going to get the chase.
Talking with Toby Christie and of course, Kevin Chapman. I know you're out there, Kevin, out at the Coke lot. I'm going to let you, Kevin, go ahead and go take care of what you got to take care of for the final segment of our show or find some food. But I do want to talk with Toby just one more thing as we look into tomorrow's race and we look at the standing. We look at, you know, how important this chase is, and we're coming up to really when it matters. And like you said earlier with the nationwide race, they have to be conservative if you're Gordon Dale Earnhardt Jr. I mean, how special would it be for Dale Earnhardt? I mean, Dale Earnhardt as well, but for Jeff Gordon to win. But when we look at Matt Kenseth, who was fastest in practice yesterday, and certainly Matt knows his way around this track. But when you look at some of these drivers in the top of the standings headed into the chase, how important is a win at Brickyard for them?
I mean, it's huge. It's shown in the past that if you win this race, you're either going to be the champion or you're going to be in the top 3 to 5 in the points by the time the whole thing's said and done. It's not a coincidence. This track takes a lot of things. You have to have handling. You have to have aerodynamics. You have to have a lot of power to get down these straightaways. So it's no coincidence that the winner of this race usually goes on to do some pretty good things in the final point standings at the end of the year. So that being said, I mean, the drivers are definitely going to want to have a pretty good performance on Sunday, and I wouldn't be surprised if the winner of this thing goes on to be the champion. We've seen it happen too many times in the past for it to be coincidence.
Juan Pablo Montoya had an opportunity to win, the first driver to win both the Brickyard 400 and the Indianapolis 500, obviously both at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. What are your thoughts about Juan Pablo Montoya out there on the track?
I don't see a win coming from Juan Pablo Montoya this weekend, but I don't see it being just out of the realm of possibility for him to get a nice top 10 finish if he plays his cards right. Realistically, he's probably going to play conservatively in qualifying just to get into the field, because if qualifying gets washed out, he's not even going to make the field based off his yesterday. So he's got to work his way into qualifying first off, which I think he'll be conservative trying to do that. Once he gets in there, then he can work his way trying to get back to a top 10 finish or something like that. But I don't think a win's going to be really all that possible for Juan Pablo Montoya this weekend.
Well, what worries me, Toby, is the fact that we're having some bad weather. The big jet drives out on the track a lot this weekend. I'm worried about Juan Pablo Montoya and the jet drive time.
Yeah, I think that's a worry for a lot of people usually when we go to racetracks where he's at. But luckily for NASCAR, we've kind of flopped the air titans more than the jet dryers now. So I guess, you know, that's one good technology that came from him running into one.
Well, you know what, Toby, I always like to ask all of our guests this, and especially ones that have been on before. We appreciate you taking some time out of your day to join us from the final lap. But talk with us a little bit about the final lap, what you guys are working on, and if there's anything that we haven't talked with you about that you'd like to share with us about.
Yeah, I mean, the final lap, we're a growing radio show. We're nationally syndicated on quite a few stations now, and we're kind of building it up as we go. We're also a podcast. You can download it if you miss it at iTunes. Just search for The Final Lap. You'll find us, and you can go to thefinallap.com, get it there. But, I mean, me and Kerry, we really enjoy doing it. It's a fun weekly thing. We can just kind of mix it up, talk NASCAR, and a lot of people love it. And we like the fact that a lot of people love it. I don't know how people listen to it so much, but I guess they do. That's cool. But it's just a really fun thing to do, and I've been doing it for a few years, but Kerry was doing it long before we even got there. So the fact that he even had the vision to get the show going and decided I was a good enough co-host to bring in, I mean, it was a real honor, and it's just been real fun since I've been there.
Well, Toby, we appreciate you taking some time to join us here at The Balance. You're always, always welcome, and I'm sure I'll see you out at the track later today, and hopefully we get us a race in this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I'm optimistic. I think we will. One final thing for people listening, if you want to check out writing work as well, because I write, I'm at a new place all of a sudden this weekend. We made a big announcement yesterday. My website, The Daily Pit Stop, has actually merged with Motor Racing Scene and RubbingsRacing.com, so now you can find all my writing work over at RubbingsRacing.com.
Toby, Chrissy, we appreciate you joining us. Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on Twitter or Facebook or what have you?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on Twitter at Tobalical, T-O-B-A-L-I-C-A-L. And that's where I usually mix it up is on Twitter. I don't really use Facebook too much and stuff like that. But if anybody wants to tweet me, I mean, I'll tweet back. I'm pretty active on there.
All right, buddy. All right, Toby, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you on the track or on today, sir.
Yeah, appreciate you guys letting me come on. It was really fun.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Toby Christie of The Final Lap joining us today. It was really an exciting time to talk with Toby and certainly get his perspective on the races this weekend. Well, Kevin Chapman is embedded out of Coke Lot. We'll be back with him our final half hour, myself, Kevin Chapman, and we'll see what we can gather up from out there at the Coke Lot right here. This is our annual Brickyard Special right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for? All right, my minions, welcome back to Final Fantasy. hour of our annual Brickyard Special, 2 hours of NASCAR talk from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway out at the Coke Lot is our embedded redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman.
Yeah.
Kevin, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. It's yeah,
all
I can
right.
hear, I can hear my
right,
Antonio driving around the track in the jet tire right now.
Well, hopefully all is good. So talk to me a bit about the coach. I know you're out there embedded. What do you got for us?
Well, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, I found our race car we can buy. So we just need to get some people on board. It's only $15,000. It's certified to race in NASCAR. So, I mean, we could take turns driving every other week. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm all for it. I'm what they call a bit of a weight problem. What's that for, Tom? All right, Kevin Chapman out at the Coke Lot. And how cool has it been to have Roger Curtis on with us, Matt Hicks, and Toby Christie from the Final Lap, all on our Brickyard Special that we do every year on the weekend of Brickyard, the day before the Brickyard 400. It's been 20 years since we started doing this thing called the Brickyard 400, and we've saw winners, multiple winners like Gordon, Jimmy Johnson. We've also seen some first-time winners such as Ryan Newman. So talk with us a little bit about the field for this week's race.
Well, and like you said, I mean, you've got your hungry drivers that are looking for to set the record. You know, who's going to be the first driver to have 5 wins at the Brickyard? And you know, everybody knows in NASCAR, Daytona is huge. Everybody knows that's our Super Bowl. But I'm telling you right now, in the last 20 years, the Brickyard is starting to really climb in that prestige status, if you want to use, to be a pretty good contender as far as the race to win. You know, at one time it was Daytona. Well, now it's getting more of the Brickyard the race to win. So you've got the drivers wanting to notch themselves. And if you think about the Gordon story right now, I mean, he won 20 years ago. So what would be a better race to be the first one to win 5, on the 20th anniversary? So you've got those. You got your hungry drivers like Kyle Larson and others that are on the bubble of the chase. A win could get him in there. So the field this year is good. The practice speeds were pretty good. So I think this one is going to be definitely one of my favorite. But I will say this time, mentioning drivers, I think I've got called Richard Petty 5 times today.
You got what? Richard Petty what?
I had like 5 different people tell me I look like Richard Petty because of my cowboy hat and goatee walking the Coke Lot.
Well, that would be only in the Coke Lot because you look like Richard Petty. So, you know.
That's why I haven't left it. I'm famous here.
So you've been out there at Camp Redneck. Has the mayor of the Redneck around available? The mayor of the camp available? Or?
He is. I'm actually down at Raceway Ministries. I was figuring I would talk to them a little bit.
Okay.
And then I will get the mayor of Camp Redneck on.
That sounds good. So do you have somebody there from Raceway Ministries that want to talk?
Yeah, I do, Tom. I'm actually going to get over here real quick. Like I said, I'm down here at the Coke Lot. Like, you know, we've got the Raceway Ministries is who I'm talking to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the microphone to one of the gentlemen from the Raceway Ministries and just have him talk to us a little bit about what Raceway Ministries, what they're about. We talked earlier, they're talking about going into truck racing next year. Vice the Nationwide and Sprint. So, I'll do that. Matter of fact, the gentleman's right here. So, again, my name is Kevin, Redneck from Philly, as everybody knows me on the show. But as I mentioned to you earlier, we're a sports talk show. So if you could just tell us a little bit about what your ministry is about, and then also where people can find you and things like that.
Sure. We are on a race and out race. We basically travel the majority of the NASCAR circuit doing ministry, basically fan-based ministry. And what we do is we've got a show car, an actual older Sprint Cup car that we bring out. That's basically the magnet that we use to get people to talk to us. And we're actually got it up for sale right now as we go into the truck series. We're going to start Integrity Motorsports in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series this year and bring in a young driver as a rookie. And so working on that. And so we'd like to partner with Raceway Ministries and just use this opportunity to tell people about the board.
Well, and with going into the truck and venturing from the Sprint and Nationwide, and from what I gather, you're also changing the name of the team, I guess you could say. And we talked earlier, with being a smaller team, you can't compete with some of the Hendrick Motorsports and the Sprint and Nationwide. Do you think going into the truck that it might help you being a smaller race team to be a little bit more, for lack of better terms, competitive?
Well, we hope so. The unfortunate thing is it takes about the same amount of money to run in the truck series as it does the Nationwide series. The downfall is that it only pays about half. And so it costs about $70,000 per race in the truck series, and we're running against guys that actually are running $200,000 per race. So we'll never probably run up front, and if we get like a top 15, that'll be like a win for us. But for us at Integrity Motorsports, it's not just about competing, but it's also about using it as a platform to tell people about Jesus Christ.
Well, and that, you know, if you are down the Coke lot, because I know we have a lot of our listeners, our local that or even travel that will be here, right over by the Family Video, you know, tomorrow morning at 9:30, they are having a service. And they do have some really good cookies, Tom. I got some cookies earlier, and coffee. So it's a good setup down here.
Cookies and coffee is good. I'm sorry I didn't catch the gentleman's name from Raceway Ministries. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, we can hear you, Tom.
Yeah. Okay, all right, great. Well, hi, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I'm the host of this ship. Sometimes I think that it's sinking, but I want to take some time, first of all, to thank you for what you do. I know that, you know, we've had a few people over the years that have been involved in your organization on the show. It's a fantastic opportunity for you. Let me ask you this. You guys have an excellent platform to be out there at the Coke lot, and everybody knows that the Coke lot is kind of the party zone, if you will, for NASCAR fans. Every track has that atmosphere, if you will. So you really have a good platform to support of God, like you've talked about. But also, how interactive do you get in drivers? And I know a lot of the ministries, they have couple services before races for drivers. You know, the situation is that when we look at situations just here recently, not too long ago, that happened over in IndyCar with the passing of Dan Weldon. Anytime that you have cars going that fast on the track, they know getting in that something drastic, something tragic could happen. That's when you guys go to work, and you guys go to work behind the scenes. You're not on camera. You're very rarely doing interviews, but you guys are the ones that are there on scene when the worst happens. How do you guys do that, and how do you handle that?
It's interesting that you bring that up because our ministry started as a result of the death of Dale Earnhardt. And NASCAR actually came to us with Raceway Ministries years ago because the fans were going to the officials saying, well, what happened to Dale Earnhardt? Where is he? And so they actually asked us to be out here to be able to handle those kind of questions. And so it gives us just a wide open door of opportunity with these fans. And you know that NASCAR has a fan base of 70 million people. For us, it's a great big mission field. And I tell you, you got to go where the people are. And people are hurting. People are looking for something, and they may try to cover it up with drugs or alcohol and a different lifestyle, but down to deep inside, they're really empty, and they have a lot of questions. And so you've got to be out, you've got to be here on the ground level with them, and this just provides that opportunity.
Well, we appreciate all that you do, and certainly, you know, we joke about buying your radar there, but I know that it's for a good cause, and we just want to design a race helmet. So if we get a race helmet designed, maybe we could put your logo on on there as well. Now, certainly, obviously, you guys are race fans. So when you look at this race, the 20th running of the Brickyard 400, what are some of the things that stand out to you, some of the memories you've had over the last 20 years? You mentioned Dale Sr. Obviously, he's had some good wins here and good appearances here. And what are your thoughts, then, talking about Dale Sr., what are your thoughts about Austin Dillon bringing back the number 3 car to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Well, that's okay with me for the number 3 to come back. You know, that's a Richard Childress decision, and so he owns that number, so that's okay. I know there's a great debate that they should have retired that number with Dale Sr., but, you know, evidently that there's a purpose behind that. But I tell you, racing's in my blood. I grew up here in Indiana about 50 miles away from the Speedway here. So I grew up about 5 miles from Jeff Gordon in Pittsburgh, Indiana, so that's what got me into NASCAR. And I never dreamed that God would allow me to actually do the NASCAR circuit and do ministry at the same time. It's a dream job for me. So, but I love racing. It's just something that gets in your blood, and you can't get it out, so it's pretty awesome.
So how – I know you guys are a large organization, but how many races do you yourself go to each year? Do you go to all of them, or are you going to – do you just go to the regional ones here around in Indiana, or –
The NASCAR circuit for us basically is on the East Coast. Sometimes we'll go to Kansas, sometimes to Texas. It all depends upon funding, you know, and that's how NASCAR works. It's all about sponsorship and what kind of funding you can get. So we like to do more, but right now we do about 17 events.
Kevin, go ahead. What do you have for Raceway Ministries?
Well, I mean, like you said, Tom, you know, it's a privilege to come down here and talk to these guys and let them be able to, you know, let people know what they're about, what they're here for. Are you going to be at Michigan? Oh, okay. They will not be at Michigan. So I was going to tell them we can meet them up there, but they're not going to be there, so we can't. But like I said, it's a privilege to come down here. You know, these guys are out here. They're smart enough to be a little bit away from the crowd, but they're right by it. So they're in a perfect spot. You pretty much got to walk by them at some point or another if you leave the cook lot to go to the racetrack. So, you know, again, this is an amazing opportunity, you know, to be able to share stuff like this. So, but I will walk down now. I'm going to head back down to Camp Redneck, and I will get the mayor on there while we finish talking. I'll be doing that. But thank you, sir. My privilege. Thank you.
Kevin Chapman, who's embedded with us down at the Coke lot. You know, we a lot of times we talk about the party scene that's out there, but you know, it is behind the scenes, Raceway Ministries, and I've heard people from their organization on the show before, and it was really good to Kevin was able to get that together for us, and you know, for him to come on and talk about Raceway Ministry. Certainly, if you're out there by the Indianapolis Motor, get there to the Coke lot and take a look at their car and so forth. And I know Kevin is walking as we speak, trying to get us the mayor of Camp Redneck, that is, and certainly a good time that they have every year. Kevin, do you have the mayor with us?
I'm about 2 feet from there, but I think we probably should put out a little warning. It is Camp Redneck, so I'm going to be on speakerphone, so you know, I don't know what. I can't promise anything going on, you know, yelling or anything in the background. That I cannot promise you. But I will have the mayor on. This is Coke Lot County right now for race fans. If you want to come down and experience a race, I look forward to going to the infield in Michigan. As you know, I've never been on the infield for that, for the race and the party like that, like we do here. But if you come to the Brickyard race, you have to spend a night in the Coke Lot. I promise you, you'll see things you don't want to see. You'll see things you want to. But it's just, it's that experience, you know. You can't pass up the experience of being at the Coke Lot for the Brickyard.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I hung there with my try to get out there maybe this weekend, depending on how the weather and stuff goes. You're a little bit brighter so than I am. So Kevin, talk to us about your night last night at the Coke Lot. How did that go?
Last night actually went pretty well at the Coke Lot. There wasn't a lot of – I don't think there was any issues that I know of last night at the Coke Lot. Well, at least none near Camp Redneck, which is good because, as you know, during the Indy 500, we did not have that privilege of nothing going on. So it was a good night considering somebody didn't get shot 10 feet from us, like the Indy 500. So with that being said, it was a pretty good weekend.
Well, let's hope nobody got shot. You know, and we could, as you're walking out there, go ahead and finish the conversation we were talking about earlier about the security and what you expect when they come out of the Coke Lot.
Brian. Oh, security is definitely up compared to the Indy. There's a lot more cops walking around this place and driving around here. But, you know, I feel bad for, you know, it has that red tape. You know, everybody hears about all this that happened at the Coke Lot, and unfortunately now it's got a stigma of, you know, it's a bad, you know, it's a dangerous place and all that. And the reality of it is that anywhere you go, you're going to have some stupid people. So, yeah, there are some here that are being stupid. But in the big picture, the Coke Lot is just a bunch of people getting together and, you know, in their own areas. You know, we have about 15 to 20 come down to Camp Redneck. You know, just people getting together, having a good time, playing some cornhole, playing Flippy Cup, whatever they want to do, and not really bothering anybody. So it is a fun time. The security is definitely up, which they need to be. Unfortunately, alcohol sometimes makes stupid people even dumber.
Right, absolutely. Okay, do you have Brian available? We're running out of time here. Do you have anybody, or is it just me and you?
No, Brian's right here. Hold on. I got to switch the speaker. Like I said, I cannot promise what sounds you might hear from Camp Redneck, though, but I will put it on speaker. All right, we're good now.
All right, we're joined by Brian, the mayor. All right, we're joined by Brian, the mayor of the Coke Lot, live on The Balance. Brian, I know you and I have talked off mic a few times. I'm also moving at the same time. So we've had a lot go on, so I'm probably going to be able to come out there overnight, but I'm going to try to come out there and hang out with you guys a little bit maybe tonight as well. But, Brian, the mayor of Camp Redneck, got a great scene out there. Talk with us a little bit about what's going on for the 20th running of the Brickyard 400 at the Coke Lot, Camp Redneck.
Well, we're just out here having beautiful weather now. Had a little rain this morning. Last night was wonderful. Didn't I ask for a better atmosphere out here? Better people, better neighbors. You know, I'm shocked that you did not make out for at least a visit last night, though. You missed some good festivities.
It was on my agenda to do, but with the rain and then the other races that were going on, I did not make it over there. But I will make it over there today. I promise, because I like hanging out at Camp Redneck. Y'all my kind of people out there. So absolutely. And so let me ask you this, Brian. You can speak on the behalf of your fans. As you see the return of the number 3 car return to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend, not been on the track here in Indianapolis since Dale Sr. What are your thoughts about Austin Dillon driving the number 3 car?
Well, I mean, I think Austin Dillon is a great driver. Now, the aspects of the number 3, what I thought was said back after the accident was they were retiring that number from ever running again in a cup race. So I'm kind of disappointed to see that car out there and not be a Earnhardt family member driving it. You know, he built such a legacy with, you know, his racing over the years and his championships.
I would much rather have seen if that car ever came back out or that number ever came back out that it was a Earnhardt family member driving it.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that we see a lot of things going on with the business world of Dale Jr. and Dale's mom, and then we get the passing of Dale Sr. Do you think that there's a disconnect between Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
From what I read back when Jr. separated from Earnhardt Incorporated or whatever the name of, you know, Earnhardt's racing company was that Jr. actually was running for after Sr.'s passing, I don't really know that I want to comment on that live, you know, because I don't, you know, the niceness out there.
Oh, I understand. We're talking with Brian, the mayor of the Coke Lot. Not, Mayor Camp Redneck. Not really the mayor of the Coke Lot. That's a completely different person. Pretty cool and all. But we want to make sure that we know that it's a different mayor. But so, Brian, I tell you what, Camp Redneck is a place to be. Talk with us a little bit about where you're located at and what do you got going on today? Because it looks like we may have some long rain delay.
Well, today is going to be a wonderful day. I see the chance of some storms moving through this evening. I actually repounded my stakes for the big top in the ground. So we will have a dry spot no matter what this evening. We have a good friend of ours, Brody, from 8 Second Saloon, that DJ's there. He got the night off. He is actually bringing out DJ equipment tonight, so we will be pounding it here. You know, we are planning on going over to the concert and watch some of the racing qualifying today at the track. All Mother Nature, you know, pending, if Mother Nature is nice to us. But we're located on the farthest south road in here, basically right at the corner of the Coke plant, right where the trucks pull in. So in between our location and it not being too overcrowded like the 500 lot and this big top up with the flagpoles up, and if at night the red light is illuminated at night to find us, we are pretty easy to find this year.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. You have my word. I'm going to at least make an appearance out there today. Kevin Chapman, I know we have him embedded out there with you guys, and we're looking forward to it. And Kevin, I know you're going to be taking some pictures for us, but also make sure that you get some pictures of Camp Redneck that we can get up on the website, if you will. Kevin, real quickly, one more question for Brian the mayor, and then you and I have to call this to close.
Oh, well, no. Brian hit it on the nail with a lot of stuff going on down here, and definitely come down to Camp Redneck. We have a good time, and like I said earlier, this is just about a bunch of friends getting together, having fun, and well, I can't say no stupidity. But
it'd be nice if everybody did leave their attitudes back in their camper at home.
Yeah.
But you get one in every bunch.
Yeah, we do have one in every bunch, unfortunately. But, you know, it's not
it's a good time. Like Brian said, Mother Nature better hold off for us. And if it don't, it don't. It is what it is. But, because, like you said, we're going to have a good time. We have a dry tent. But DJ equipment will be underneath it. So even if it rains, we still have music. And there is the red light. Follow the light at night to find us.
We're the solid light, not the flashing.
That's right. They're solid. We're the solid light. You don't want to find the flashing red and blue light. That's bad. You stay away from the flashing light. Go to the solid light. The flashing is bad.
Flashing is bad. All right, Kevin Chen, we appreciate you joining us. We got about 6 minutes left on the clock here. Brickyard 400. Talk with me again. Let's wrap up this weekend, what we've got going on. Maybe you want to step away from where you're at right now, Kevin, so that we can talk for about another 5 minutes here about the Brickyard. about the Brickyard 400. Kevin Chapman's out there embedded with us at the Coke lot. We're joined talking with Brian, the mayor of the Coke lot, mayor of the of Kaepernick out there at the Coke lot. So, Kevin, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Kevin, all right. We got 5 minutes left on the clock. Let's talk real quickly about tomorrow's race and how important tomorrow's race is for the chase for the NASCAR championship.
Well, you know, it's huge this year. As you know, any race now is highly needed. You've got, you know, we're getting close to where if you don't win now, you're not in the chase. You know, and depending on how many one-time winners we have, you know, you might even think about winning twice within the next couple races. So it's we're going to have those guys that are hungry that are for different reasons. You know, you got like we said, you got Johnson and Gordon going for number five. They're going to be hungry for that. They've got Kyle Larson that are going for to get into the chase. So I think we're going to see some passing this year in spots that normally you don't see because it just shouldn't happen. But it's going to come down to you're that last 20 laps in the race, and you're in the top five, and a win gets you in the chase, or a win puts you in the history book as the first five-time winner. There might be some, as we talked about the number three, there might be some Earnhardt moves this year, a little bumping on the track to get that win.
Well, I tell you what, how special would it be for Jeff Gordon? Now, I'm not necessarily the biggest Jeff Gordon fan, but I tell you what, it would be a huge win for him, not only for the standing and points and getting into the chase, but also a huge win for Jeff Gordon this weekend to win the 20th running of the Brickyard 400. That would just be an awesome, awesome feat. And on top of that, he would be the first Brickyard driver to win five Brickyards. And certainly a very good opportunity for Jeff Gordon. Also, Dale Jr. is in the mix there as well. But the thing about it, with the weather and with strategies, and as we heard Toby Christie talked about just a few minutes ago, that you've got those that aren't really mixed up in the pack, and they can take a lot of chances, whereas, you know, your Jeff Gordons and your Dale Juniors really do have to be very conservative, especially when we're dealing with rain and tires and so forth. So, really, we could see a dark horse win the Brickyard 400, Kevin.
And we will. I think we're going to find that, like I said earlier, that dark horse. And I know the media, you're not supposed to be partial, and I'm not really partial. As long as it's a Hendrick Motorsport race driver, I'm not partial, no. I would love to see the story with, and especially if you think about this could be Gordon's last year racing, or it's getting close to it. He's talked about this, and we've talked in the past about will this be his final year? You know, so for him to win the inaugural and then win on the 20th anniversary, with it looming that it could be his last year, that would make this win, and it would already be special, but that would elevate it even that much higher. You know, his last time in Brickyard, he won the first and last time he raced there. That would be, for me, that storyline or somebody like Kyle Larson, a rookie, winning at the Brickyard and getting into the chase. Those are storylines I'd like to see come out of tomorrow.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? I'm glad that you brought that up about Jeff Gordon possibly retired. We have talked about it on this show, but I talked about it a long time ago on this show, and I said that this could very well be the Jeff Gordon car or any car, period, for that matter. Certainly, we look for him. He's already a car owner and part car owner, and so we certainly look for him to maintain in NASCAR and in the business aspect, if not the broadcast booth. But this could very well be the last year and the last time that we see Jeff Gordon, the number 24 car, out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So many stories, so many storylines. Will there be another dream fulfilled right here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Will there be another dream broken? We're going to find that out this weekend. Hopefully Mother Nature will let us get a race in. As Matt Hicks said, we are shooting for the halfway point. Well, Kevin Chapman, that's going to do it for us. Real quickly, where can people find you, stalk you on social media, and so forth?
Well, they can find me on Facebook under Kevin Chapman. They can also find me on with The Balance, as well as Philly Country Boy on Twitter. That's Philly as in P-H-I-L-Y, Country Boy.
Philly Country Boy. All right,
that's
Kevin,
right.
We're going to let you go. We'll catch up with you here a little bit later at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
All right, looking forward to it. I'm going to go ahead and get us some Coke Lot photos for our site.
All right, sounds good. Kevin Chapman and that redneck from Philly. Once saw Mark Wazell, Presidente. Guys, that's going to do it. Remember, if you're out here at the Brickyard 400, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you on Thursday at the Hot Corner.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.